Once, at a campsite in the Upper Yak, a woman with long gray hair and wild eyes roared up in a pickup nearly as old as she was. She cut the motor and stalked over to where I sat in the grass talking with a group of college students who were camping beside a little creek. "A bear lives up here," she said accusingly, glaring. "She's been here for years. You have to be careful with your food. Lock it up at night. If the bear becomes a nuisance, they'll take her away, and there's nowhere else for her to go." "We're being careful," we said, truthfully, placating, but the woman was severe. "If you leave food out, that's not the bear's fault," she said. "This is the end of the road for her. There's nowhere else to go." Janice Ray, Yak Valley, June 1997.
Janice, what do you know about that woman with that long gray hair and the wild eyes?
I know we need more of them. We need more of her. People who see what's happening to wild places and are willing to defend it, willing to speak out on an everyday level about this.
And what's interesting also is, who knows if that woman has ever even seen that bear?
Yeah, I would think that she has. I think she has a personal relationship with the bear, and I mean, she definitely felt responsible for it. Fiercely protective, almost as if she would put her body between it and anybody else. That takes a great courage. You know, we look a lot to visionaries, and thank goodness we need them, but the people who are living in a place and defending it on a daily basis are absolutely courageous people.
Janice, what sort of comparisons can you make between the relationship that people have with the land in the Yak compared to that relationship where you live in Georgia?
I think in both places the people have a great sense of place. I think they're fierce about the landscape. Logging has been a way of life in both places. I think we are the forests in both places. And it's very obvious in the Yak and in the South, in Georgia, that we see the loss of forests around us, and people are upset. They see what's happening. They know that not only our human survival, but our cultures depend on those places, that we come from them. Even our bones are made of place, the place we're from. And I think that the effect that vast logging has on all of us, in wherever we're from, is the same. It's devastating, psychically. There's a woman, Kathleen Dean Moore, is a philosopher who does a lot of thinking about what place means to us. I think it means more to us as human beings than we know, than we have really given credence to.
I understand that Rick Bass was your tour guide when you went to the Yak. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What were your first impressions of the area?
You know, I'd rather tell you the story of taking my son back there. We were traveling through it, and it was a winter day, and I pointed out there was a great patches of white, and then there were also patches of green on the mountainsides where there were trees, Doug fir and larch and so forth. And I asked my son, who was 11, did he know what those patches of white were, and he didn't, and I told him it was clear cuts. I knew that from the previous visit. He said, "Clear cuts? Are they crazy? This should be a national park." It was his first visit to the Yak. We were coming up a wintry road, snow hanging in the branches, seeing deer and moose right off the road. An incredible day. The Yak is a magical place. It's a place that still functions with all of its wildness intact. We have so few of those places left. My first impression of it was that, my goodness, here is a place where we can finally be human, where we can finally know what it means to be absolutely engaged with this world we were born into. I saw beautiful sights, you know, lakes, clear mountain lakes with lupin growing around them. And I climbed hills. I was in the middle of a windstorm with Rick and other riders when trees just blew down all around us. And I saw the magnificence of the place, the power, the profundity. I also saw terrible clear cuts. Standing from a lookout, I think I counted 56 clear cuts.
From that one vantage point.
One point from 40 acres in size all the way past 200 acres. It was very, very disturbing to see what's happening up there with logging. I want to say, you know, we all have a line we won't cross, and the line that I think we should stop crossing is destroying more wilderness. We have so little left. I think to cut a pine plantation is one thing, but to cut an old-growth forest or even a mature forest, especially in a place as wild and precious as the Yaak Valley of Montana, it's unjustifiable. It's appalling.
Janice, in your essay on the Yaak, you write about a friend of yours who lives in that valley. Could you read a little part of that?
If I were grizzly, I couldn't live in the openness of clear cuts in the Yaak Valley of Montana. A good friend of mine lives there, and he wrestles with the openness too, although wrestle may be too mild a word. The cutting rides him hard because he lives tight in those trees, lodge poles and Doug firs and larch crowding up around his house so close that you hardly notice the house at all. He lives like any other wild thing in the North Woods, which is why I'm not going to call his name. He moves among the trees quick and wary, out of sight in a wink. Many times you don't see him at all, but you know he's out there in the woods, like you know the mountain lions are there. He's been there 15 years, and every day he wakes up more twined in those trees, his body woven into the bark, into the gray branches. He tells me about the first time he and his wife saw the valley from a high point on the Yaak Road coming from Canada. Right then, something reached out and snagged his heart. He showed me that spot coming around a curve, and the Yaak laid out like Sleepy Hollow. "This is it," he said, slowing down, as if wanting it to grab me like it grabbed him and his wife. But his relationship with the place intrigued me more than the place itself. People call it passion, but it's more than that. It's that you could not tell where my friend's body stopped and the valley began. The thread separating him from wildness couldn't have kept a spider aloft. It was so thin. It seemed as if before my eyes he might break free of domesticity any second and shapeshift to wolverine or lynx. I couldn't keep my eyes off him, wanting to witness it happening. "I get scared looking at the clear cuts," he said that day, closer home. "I'm afraid they'll make me sick. I mean, really, physically, some disease of bitterness."
Writer and naturalist Janice Ray is author of Ecology of a Cracker Childhood. Janice, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Diane. If I were grizzly, I couldn't live in the openness of clear cuts in the Yaak Valley of Montana. A good friend of mine lives there, and he wrestles with the openness too, although wrestle may be too mild a word. The cutting rides him hard because he lives tight in those trees, lodge poles and Doug firs and larch crowding up around his house so close that you hardly notice the house at all. He lives like any other wild thing in the North Woods, which is why I'm not going to call his name. He moves among the trees quick and wary, out of sight in a wink. Many times you don't see him at all, but you know he's out there in the woods, like you know the mountain lions are there. "This is it," he said, slowing down, as if wanting it to grab me like it grabbed him and his wife. But his relationship with the place intrigued me more than the place itself. People call it passion, but it's more than that. It was that you could not tell where my friend's body stopped and the valley began. The thread separating him from wildness couldn't have kept a spider aloft, it was so thin. It seemed as if before my eyes he might break free of domesticity any second and shapeshift to wolverine or lynx. I couldn't keep my eyes off him, wanting to witness it happening. I get scared looking at the clear cuts, he said that day, closer home. I'm afraid they'll make me sick. I mean, really, physically, some disease of bitterness. Janice Ray, Yaak Valley, June 1997.